You're listening to The Voluntary Life, where you can hear ideas for finding freedom in an unfree world. Visit thevoluntarylife.com to connect with the show and hear all past episodes. Here's your host, Jake.
Hi, it's Jake here. Welcome to The Voluntary Life. This week, I want to share with you a very interesting idea that comes from an article called The Five Laws of Stupidity. This is a theory of stupidity, and it's a theory about how stupidity and stupid people are the most dangerous people on the planet, and also about how easy it is to mistake stupidity for other things, and how much everyone underestimates the danger and impact that stupid people have on everyone else. This is an article that was written by an Italian economic historian, a guy called Carlo M. Cipolla. And he wrote this article in the 1970s, and he died in the late 90s. And there's very little information about this guy online, apart from the fact that he wrote this article. But I found it a very thought-provoking article. It's one of those articles that is written in a slightly humorous way. So the kind of way where the author could potentially claim that this was just them joking, but actually you can tell that he's making a serious point in the article as well. And I'll put a link in the show notes to the article so you can read it yourself. But I want to share with you the ideas in this article. So in the article, Carlo Cipolla puts forward this theory of stupidity. And he puts it forward as five laws. So I'll explain each of the laws, and then I'll finish by giving some of my own thoughts on the ideas. The first law of stupidity is that everyone underestimates the number of stupid people. And the idea here is that no matter how many idiots you think you are surrounded by, you are lowballing the estimate. And his argument is the reason that you underestimate how many stupid people there are around you is because you're probably assuming that people are intelligent based on superficial and irrelevant criteria, like their job, their education level, their class, their race, whether or not they're eloquent, and other biases that you may have about assuming that if somebody is a certain way, that means they're not stupid. And he's arguing in this article that you're wrong. Those things are all irrelevant. So that brings us on to law number two of stupidity. And that is that the probability that a person is stupid is independent of any other characteristic. So the idea here is that every characteristic that you can imagine, whether it's gender, race, nationality, education level, income, any category you can imagine is uncorrelated to whether or not a person is stupid. And Cipolla even says in this article, there are stupid Nobel Prize winners. So you can't predict whether a person is stupid or not by looking at any of these other characteristics that they might have. His argument is that there are stupid people in every walk of life, in every ethnic group, gender, class, profession, income level, anything you can imagine. And he goes on to argue that there's the same proportion of stupid people in any of these categories because it's uncorrelated to any of these categories. He makes the argument that he can't tell exactly how high that proportion is because everyone underestimates it all the time. But the main point is you can't use these other criteria to determine whether or not someone is stupid. And that brings us on to law number three. And this is his idea that a stupid person causes losses to others without gains to themselves. So he's defining stupid behavior as a social thing, and he's saying it's about whether or not you cause losses to other people without benefiting yourself. So it's a social theory of stupidity, and it means that you can still be stupid if you are very good at, for example, mathematical calculations or pattern matching or lots of other things. You could be very good at all of these things, but you're still stupid if your behavior towards others involves losses to other people without you actually gaining. So in order to explain this idea, Cipolla creates this 2x2 matrix. So you have two variables and two different possible states of each variable, which gives you four possible outcomes. So just to explain these variables. So one variable is, are you causing benefits to other people or are you causing losses to other people? So that's the first variable, is your impact on others. Do you benefit them or do you cause them losses? And the second variable is, for yourself, are you benefiting yourself or are you causing losses to yourself? And if you combine those two, we get four different outcomes. So talking them through, first of all, you have people who benefit other people and themselves. And this is the win-win outcome, where your actions in the world not only benefit you, but they also benefit other people. And you are a net positive wealth generator in the world. And Cipolla calls these intelligent people. So it's a theory of intelligence based on your behavior, your social behavior. Are you engaging in win-win interactions? So that's the first one. What about the people who cause losses to other people, but benefits to themselves? Well, Cipolla calls these bandits, and these are essentially criminals and thieves. If you imagine when somebody steals, what they're doing is they're causing a loss to you and a gain to themselves. So that's the second type. And then if you imagine there's a third type, which is people who cause benefits to others and losses to themselves. And Cipolla calls these helpless people. And there are other words that I've seen used. He sometimes calls them naive people. The idea here is that this is people who get taken for a ride. They benefit other people, but at a loss to themselves. And then the fourth group is what he defines as stupid people. And these are people who cause losses to others without benefiting themselves. And his idea is that a lot of the time, they're just messing things up for other people without any particular benefit to themselves. But they're also really stupid people who not only cause losses to others, but actually harm themselves actively. So stupid people are either just messing things up for everyone else without any clear gain, or even messing things up for everyone else and actually harming themselves as well in the process. And that's his theory of stupidity. That's what stupid behavior is. And of course, since this is four different outcomes from two variables, you can draw one of these 4x4 matrices that entrepreneurs love. And someone's done this. I've put it in the show notes. So you can see if you have on the x-axis loss or benefit to yourself, and on the y-axis loss or benefit to others, then in the top right-hand corner, you have the intelligent people who benefit themselves and others. Then in the bottom right-hand corner, you have the bandits who benefit themselves but cause losses to others. And then in the top left, you have the helpless or naive people, or sometimes called hapless people, who benefit others but not themselves. And then in the bottom left quadrant, you have the stupid people who harm others and harm themselves. I'll put that graphic in the show notes so you can see it. An interesting part of his law number three about defining stupid people is that he also assumes that stupid people are consistent in being stupid. In other words, they go through life constantly causing losses to other people without clear gain to themselves. So it's an interesting idea that he's putting forward that this is not just one-off behavior. There are people who are basically messing the world up through their stupidity, and they're consistent about it. So law number four of stupidity, according to Cipolla, is the idea that non-stupid people underestimate the danger of the stupid. And his argument is that non-stupid people constantly forget that at all times and all places and under any circumstances, to deal with and or associate with stupid people always turns out to be a costly mistake. And his argument here is that everyone underestimates just how dangerous stupid people are. Intelligent people underestimate it, but so do bandits and so do helpless people. And that brings us on to law number five. And this is the most interesting, I think. Stupid people are the most dangerous people on the planet. And as part of that law, a corollary of that is that stupid people are more dangerous than bandits. And the argument is that if you have someone who is a criminal, a bandit, who wants to gain for themselves by robbing you or by causing losses to you, that person is predictable, because they are following incentives, and they may be unethical incentives. They may be doing something that is fundamentally wrong, but at least you can work out what they're likely to do because they have goals and they follow incentives. So bandits you can defend against because you can work out what a bandit might try and do to rip you off. The really dangerous thing about stupid people is that they mess things up for everyone else without clear gain to themselves. And that means they're not following incentives. They're just causing problems. So they're fundamentally unpredictable, and that makes them incredibly dangerous. Even more dangerous than the people who you would identify as the real villains in the world, stupid people are more dangerous than villains. So that's a summary of the article. As I said, I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to read the original, and I'll put a link to that graphic showing the 4x4 matrix of stupid people versus non-stupid people. It's a very interesting article, and I found it very thought-provoking. I like the idea of defining stupidity in terms of social behavior, because I have met very highly educated people who are very eloquent and articulate, who are also stupid in the way that this article describes. And I think it's really important to bear in mind that if you walk into a room full of highly articulate, educated people, there are going to be destructively stupid people in that group. And you shouldn't assume that just because people are highly educated or articulate, that they're not stupid. And by the same token, if you walk into a room of people who are ignorant, who are uneducated, you shouldn't assume that they're destructively stupid in the way that Cipolla defines in this article, because the two are uncorrelated. You can have ignorant people who are not stupid, and you can have highly educated people who are stupid. The idea that stuck with me most in this article, I've really been mulling over, is this idea that stupid people are the most dangerous people in the world because of their unpredictability. Cipolla argues in this article that we can do nothing about the stupid. And he makes the basic argument that you can't teach stupid people. You can teach ignorant people and they can learn, but his argument is that there are people who cause havoc for everyone else, regardless of learning the facts. And his basic idea is that with stupid people, they just throw a spanner in the works for everyone else, and you just basically have to avoid them. And in the end of the article, he makes some comments about what this means for society. This is where the fact that he was a historian came in. He starts talking about how much impact do stupid people have on the rise and fall of civilizations. And basically his argument is the stupid people are always there. They're not what determines things collapsing. What determines whether or not societies are able to flourish is how the non-stupid people behave. And basically, what proportion of the non-stupid people are behaving intelligently, involved in win-win interactions with each other, and what proportion of them become bandits and start doing win-lose interactions with other people. And he makes the point that once the non-stupid people stop kind of containing the impact of stupid people, everything goes to hell. So essentially, for society to thrive, his argument is you've got to keep the non-stupid people acting ethically, acting in an intelligent way, which is win-win. His argument is that although you have villains or bandits, as he calls them, people who are out to benefit themselves by robbing others, those people can cause enormous damage because they can lead stupid people in bad ways. Also, they can just unleash the force of stupidity, which can wreck things for everyone else. I don't think this idea is entirely foolproof. I'm still mulling it over myself, and I do see some problems with this idea. I mean, you can get down to nitpicking about, oh, well, how do you define whether a stupid person really isn't benefiting themselves? Because, I mean, you could say, for example, that a suicide bomber is doing something completely stupid because it harms other people and it also harms themselves. But then from that suicide bomber's own perspective, they obviously believe that they benefit from killing themselves. So they could have their own subjective gains in mind. And I do see some other problems with the arguments. And as I said, I get the sense that he was partly joking around by writing this article, but that he was definitely making a serious point as well. And it's one that I'm mulling over. I found it a very thought-provoking read. And I think the idea of thinking about the difference between bandits and stupid people, between people who are truly evil and out to cause harm to others in order for their own gain, thinking about the difference between them and people who just wreck things for everyone else without clear gain to themselves, that is a fascinating thing to consider, and to consider just how dangerous stupid people are. And also to think about his argument that he provocatively puts forward that there are way more people who behave in this socially stupid way than you think. That's an interesting idea too. So I hope you found that interesting, and I hope that gives you food for thought. Don't forget to check out my books. I have two books that you can get on Amazon in paperback, ebook, and audiobook format. They are Becoming an Entrepreneur and Job Free. That's all for this week. I hope you have a great week, and I'll be back next week with another episode.
Thank you for listening to The Voluntary Life. If you have feedback about the show, please email Jake at thevoluntarylife.com. If you enjoyed this program, please share the podcast with your friends or click the donate button on thevoluntarylife.com.